This is a scene from the movie Sophie Scholl, which was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. It's the gripping story of Germany's most famous anti-Nazi heroine. Sophie Scholl, along with her brother Hans, was part of an underground resistance movement in Munich. These college students called themselves the White Rose. In 1943, shortly after the German disaster in Stalingrad, Sophie and Hans were arrested on a college campus as they distributed pamphlets denouncing Hitler's war. Both were soon executed. The movie recreates the final days of Hans and Sophie Scholl when they confronted their Nazi interrogators. The film's director, Mark Rothemund, recently came into our studio where Steve Paulson asked about the German resistance.
Was the White Rose a real threat to the Nazis?
Yeah, of course, because the Nazis also were afraid that in the country the Germans will lose the belief in the end of war, will lose the belief in the Führer. And exactly on the day of the arrest, and that's really an accident, you know, is the very famous speech of Goebbels that was a consequence of the loss of the Battle of Stalingrad, that he really asked the people, do you want the total war? You know, in the Nürnberger Sportspalast, 20,000 people were shouting, yes! And he was also mentioning that exactly now, after the loss of the Battle of Stalingrad, we really have to have an eye on the German population. And everybody who resists, who demonstrates, we really have to press them down to kill them.
Now, in your movie, it's only 6 days from the time that Sophie Scholl and her brother Hans are arrested, and they've been seen dropping leaflets in a university, until the time that they were executed. Is that really what happened?
Everything happened like it is in the movie, because I was the first who found unpublished documents about the interrogations. We found documents about the trial. We found even execution documents, terrible enough. And I'm maybe the last director of a generation who really can ask eyewitnesses. We asked the sister of Sophie Scholl, tell us about your sister, tell us about the education. We were the first who were interested in the interrogation officer. After many people were looking in phone books for 2 months, we found the son of the interrogation officer and he gave us an interview. And there are still living members of the White Rose. So once you visit Munich, don't only go to the Oktoberfest, you can also visit the original locations of this movie. That means the university. And in the university, there's a very famous museum about the White Rose. And there are still living members who lead you through the university and tell you the story.
Hmm. Now, in your movie, after she is first arrested, Sophie Scholl, she's starting to be interrogated, and it's a very gripping and terrifying scene because there's a sense that maybe she could get off, or maybe she'll just get a reprimand and, you know, she'll be let go with a stiff warning. But it quickly turns into something much more serious.
Ich weiß nicht, ich war am Anfang nur kurz da und bin dann in ein Konzert gegangen.
Hat Probst Salzburg und Linz mit Flugschriften versorgt?
Nein, Hans hat ihn nicht eingeweiht. Schon allein wegen Probsts Frau und seinen 3 Kindern.
Sie haben hier verdammt nochmal die Wahrheit zu sagen! Ich erwarte von Ihnen, dass Sie mir jetzt endlich Ross und Reiter nennen!
This is also the main reason why I did the movie, because in Germany we have 190 schools named after Sophie Scholl. And Sophie Scholl is elected by the biggest German TV station. They asked for the best Germans of all times, and Adenauer, the first chancellor, won. And Hans and Sophie Scholl were ranked number 4, but the young people under 30, they voted Hans and Sophie Scholl as the ranked number 1 far ahead as the best Germans of all times. For the Germans, they are something like a heroine or like a martyr. But when you learn she spent 4 days in the Gestapo headquarters, and when you read the first page of this interrogation report, then you see she's lying. She's fighting for her life. She's afraid of death. She's far away from being a martyr. You know, you see the human being, and that's what we try to find out, to find the person behind these neutral letters, you know. And the really fascinating, emotional, overwhelming thing is you have this 21-year-old, well-educated, very honest person in this interrogation room, and there is this careerist, this yes-man, this follow-man. The French later found out he was not a murderer, but he was a careerist, and he didn't want to know where the money come from. He didn't want to know about the killing of the Jews. And in the beginning, she's lying, and he's a tough guy. And after 3 days, these two different German characters, suddenly this guy tries to save her life. She would have gone to prison. And she says her most famous line, no, I don't regret. I would do exactly the same. It's not me. You have the wrong way, Dunshong, and I will take on the consequences.
Hmm. Now, you said that you interviewed some of the people who knew these, the son of the interrogator, of the Nazi interrogator, the sister of Sophie Scholl. What did they tell you?
the son told us a lot about his father, for example, that also the son didn't want to go to the Eastern Front anymore because he didn't believe in the final victory of Hitler. But the father sent him to there. He said, I'm a high-ranking Nazi officer. You have to go to the Eastern Front. And the last thing what the son told me was, Mr. Rothermund, what should have my father done? You cannot quit the Gestapo that easily. So also there it's a matter about civil courage. And the sister told us a lot about the education because I was looking for where's the reason for such a mental strength. And I found out a lot of it is based in the education of the parents, then in the curiosity of them because they wanted to know about the war crimes. They knew about the war crimes and the belief in God. So the belief in God, I think, helped her very much not to accept the offer of a murderer system. And even later on, to console the parents. We see us in heaven. She consoles the parents, you know.
As they know that she's about to be executed, they at least in your movie, they come bursting into the courtroom and say, no, you can't do this. And she basically tells them, no, it'll be okay.
Yeah. Also, this was true, you know. I was so surprised that it was really true. Nobody knew it in Germany that the parents tried to break into the courtroom to defend their own children. But I had also another very important eyewitness, and it was a little sister of another executed member of the White Rose. And when this member of the White Rose was executed, he told his little sister, his 17-year-old sister, you are the one who should keep my heritage alive. And since 62 years, this woman travels around Germany from school to school and tells the story.
Now, after the interrogation, Sophie and her brother Hans are sent to court, and it's essentially a kangaroo court. I mean, the decision's already been made about what's going to happen to them, and there's this horrible judge, who prosecutor, judge, whatever he is, and he screams at them. But I guess the true moment of heroism in your movie is they each get up and say, look, you know, here's the truth. Hans says, I served on the Eastern Front. I saw the German soldiers being sent to their slaughter. And then Sophie gets up and appeals to their conscience. All that really happened?
All that happens.
Sollen wir denn auf ewig das vor aller Welt ausgestoßen und gehasste Volk sein?
Ach, ein Herrenvolk interessiert das nicht.
Ihr Herrenvolk, wenn in Wirklichkeit Frieden und dass die Menschenwürde wieder Achtung findet. Es will Gott... Gewissen. Mitgefühl.
Ja, was bilden Sie sich denn ein? Der totale Krieg bringt dem deutschen Volk den Sieg. Und es wird aus diesen Stahlgewittern groß und gereinigt hervorgehen.
Was wir gesagt und geschrieben haben, das denken ja so viele. Nur wagen Sie nicht, es auszusprechen.
Ach, schweigen Sie endlich.
The only character where we really have original films is about this judge. They shot the next trial they were shooting with a camera, with a hidden camera, hidden in the swastika. And he was shouting like hell. And he was the president of the Volksgerichtshof, of the People's Court. Der Blutrichter, the blood judge. He sentenced 6,000 people to death. And he came after 3 days for a show trial to try to show the people, don't resist, you know, this is what happens to you. You know, the actor, he was practicing shouting because we had 4 days of shooting. He practiced 4 weeks at home. So his wife was really complaining to me a lot, you know. But that was also the reason why the judge really saw, you know, every hour these people stay alive. They will fight against that. And that was the reason why he really, after the trial, 3 hours later, there was an execution.
Why did you consider this story so important to tell? I mean, why now after all these years?
This is just a personal reason because everybody knows Sophie Scholl in Germany. On the other hand, you know, my grandmother was also a Nazi, but she was a sports lady. She was pampered and sponsored, and her dream of her life was taking part in the Olympic Games 1940. And this stands for the whole society or for the whole generation, refused to talk about it to their children and grandchildren because of their bad conscience. Now there's a second generation, the grandchildren, and we ask questions. I want to know what happened in this time. So I learned a lot about my grandparents. So several reasons.
Yeah, well, I'm partly interested in this whole question because of your age. I mean, you were born in, what, 1968?
Yes.
So obviously many years after these events. And I guess I'm wondering how people of your generation look back on the Nazi years. I mean, because in some ways, Germany has probably, of all the countries in Europe who did some horrible things. I mean, Germany has come to terms with that, certainly more than Austria, more than Poland. Mm. I mean, there has been a lot of examination of those years. Is this still, to some degree, a taboo subject? I mean, what happened during the Nazi years?
No, not at all. Because the German people were so guilty, and our generation now, we know about the Holocaust. We know that 6 million Jews were killed. There were 1.5 million children, and altogether 50 million people lost their life, and the Germans are responsible for it, the Germans of this time.
But you know what Hitler did, you know about Goebbels and Goering, and you know all those top officials, but I would think where it would get more difficult would be when it's family members, you know, grandparents who were complicit in some way. Is that still hard for families to talk about?
They don't talk about, well, how I said, our grandparents, they don't talk about this period. Of course, the members of the White Rose, yes, but the people who were the yes men or the murderers, they don't talk about it. They didn't talk and they die. You know, now they are all between 80 and 90 and they will die. This will be the movie, one of the last movies that is really based on the interviews of eyewitnesses. But I tell you, they don't talk about it. My father, he was so sad that his mother was not talking to him. They really never came really close together in the whole life. Really, when she died, I was there. He wasn't there because he was still angry. And he was, of course, also educating me in the total different way then. But I think there is a huge problem. There was a huge problem between the majority of people who said Heil Hitler and their children. That was really a conflict. And that's what our generation, the grandchildren generation, tries to do better.
Mark Rothman directed the film Sophie Scholl, The Final Days, which was nominated for an Oscar for Best Foreign Film. Steve Paulson spoke with him.